In just 30 days, a single entertainment medium generated $2.5 billion.
Which is just a staggering number to even say out loud.
Right. I mean, it completely eclipsed the global box office of Hollywood's biggest blockbusters. And the crazy thing is, it did it by completely destroying the oldest, like, most stubborn rule in the tech sector.
Oh, the hardware monopoly.
Exactly, the hardware monopoly. Because historically, buying a video game console was it was like buying a train ticket on a private railroad.
Yeah, you buy an Xbox ticket, you only get to visit Xbox cities.
Right. And Sony had their own private tracks, Nintendo had theirs. You just couldn't cross over. But recently, the industry essentially laid down this universal track, and the results have been, I mean, nothing short of earth-shattering.
Completely paradigm shifting.
So, welcome to today's deep dive, where we are unpacking a historic 30-day window that the team over at Tekken Game officially dubbed the Golden Month of Gaming.
Which was April 2026.
April 2026. And the mission today isn't just to, you know, rattle off a calendar of video game releases for you. We really want to examine why this specific month fundamentally changed digital entertainment.
Yeah, because we are talking about the absolute death of console exclusivity here, and that exact moment where, like, independent artistic vision perfectly merged with blockbuster budgets.
Right, those multi-million-dollar AAA budgets. So whether you play games 8 hours a day, or maybe you haven't touched a controller in 10 years, or you're just someone fascinated by shifting tech business models, this breakdown is going to give you some major aha
It
moments.
really is a master class in where digital media is heading.
Definitely. Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the biggest industry shockwave of the month, April 1st, 2026.
Which is incredibly fitting, right?
I
Because
know.
when the announcement originally dropped, half the internet genuinely thought it was an elaborate April Fool's joke.
Oh, absolutely. Because it was just that unthinkable. Microsoft took their absolute biggest, most expensive Xbox exclusive role-playing game, Starfield, and they released it directly onto Sony's PlayStation 5.
The rival console, the mortal enemy.
Literally the enemy. And they didn't just, you know, port it over lazily. I was looking at the technical data on this transfer, and it is
Oh,
wild.
they went all out.
They really did. I mean, we are talking 60 frames per second, checkerboard 4K resolution, and full ray tracing.
And for anyone who doesn't spend all day obsessing over rendering tech, ray tracing is a huge deal.
Yeah, break that down for us.
So instead of developers essentially like painting fake shadows into a room, ray tracing literally simulates individual beams of light bouncing off surfaces in real time.
Wow.
Yeah, it requires massive computing power, but it makes those spaceship interiors look just hyper-realistic.
But I read that it actually played better on the rival console. Like, how is that even possible?
It comes down to a really fascinating quirk in the hardware architecture,
Maybe I
actually.
am listening.
The PlayStation 5's solid-state drive, it handles data decompression differently than the Xbox Series X. Because of that specific architecture, the load times on the PlayStation actually clocked in at 6 seconds.
Wait, 6 seconds?
Yeah, 6 seconds compared to 8 seconds on Microsoft's own machine.
That is insane.
And Bethesda, the studio behind the game, they just leaned all the way into it. They fully integrated Sony's unique DualSense haptic feedback.
Oh, I love that feature.
Right. So when you fire a weapon or you take off in a spaceship, the adaptive triggers on the PlayStation controller physically resist your fingers.
So they optimized a flagship Microsoft game to play arguably better on a Sony machine.
Exactly.
Wait, I have to push back on the business logic here, though.
Yeah.
Microsoft spent, what, over $7 billion acquiring Bethesda a few years ago?
Yep, massive acquisition.
And that was specifically to own these games, to force people to buy an Xbox. Giving your crown jewel to Sony, it feels like Apple deciding to put the iOS operating system on a Samsung Galaxy phone.
It sounds totally counterintuitive.
Why on earth would you willingly surrender your monopoly?
What's fascinating here is that Microsoft recognized that the concept of a hardware monopoly was actually becoming a massive financial liability.
A liability, how so?
Well, Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, essentially initiated this gaming everywhere strategy because the margins on physical plastic boxes are razor thin.
Oh, right. They barely make money on the consoles.
Exactly. So Microsoft shifted from a hardware-first mindset to a software and subscription-first mindset. Xbox isn't just a physical console under your TV anymore.
It's a service.
It's a ubiquitous service. It's Game Pass. By keeping a massive game like Starfield locked to one piece of hardware, they were artificially capping their own revenue potential.
Okay, so did the gamble actually pay off? Because I imagine giving up that exclusivity had to come with a serious financial injection to you know, justify the outrage from their hardcore fans.
Oh, the numbers completely validate the pivot. In week one alone on the PS5, Starfield sold 6.6 million copies.
6.6 million in 1 week.
Breaking that down, you had 2.5 million physical discs and 4.1 million digital downloads.
Whoa.
That generated $396 million in a single week from an audience they previously walled themselves off from.
That is nearly $400 million that Microsoft would have simply left on the table if they had clung to that old private railroad mentality.
Precisely.
Think about how frustrated you get when a streaming show you want to watch is locked to a service you don't subscribe to.
It's the worst.
Gamers felt the exact same way, and Microsoft finally gave them the keys.
And to sweeten the deal, they gave PS5 players a 3-hour exclusive side quest called The Constellation's Legacy, plus a suite of cosmetic skins.
Which is just smart marketing. Sure, a small vocal minority of Xbox purists mourned the loss of their exclusive club, but the overarching consensus from the global gamer community was this massive sigh of relief.
It democratized access entirely. But tearing down the walls and selling the game was really only phase one. The real genius of April 2026 was how they kept those 6.6 million new players, along with their existing player base, logging in every single day.
Which brings us to the massive, completely free update that dropped across all platforms on that exact same day.
The Constellation expansion.
Yes. And here's where it gets really interesting, because they didn't just add a few new guns to keep people happy. They fundamentally transformed what the game actually is.
They overhauled the entire experience.
Yeah. I mean, yes, they added over 150 new weapon mods and 200 custom spacesuits. But the crown jewel was an entirely new city-building system.
Oh, the city-building is incredible.
You can now build settlements on barren alien planets that house up to 10,000 digital residents, utilizing over 500 different building types.
It's basically a game within a game at that point.
Right. I had to stop and ask myself, at what point does a video game stop being a curated story that developers tell you and just become a digital operating system for the player's own imagination?
That is the exact transition the industry is chasing right now. Player retention through user-generated content.
Yeah, because if you write a story, it ends.
Exactly. If a studio writes a 10-hour linear story, you play it for 10 hours and you leave. But if the developers provide the physics, the rendering engine, and the canvas, the players will provide their own narrative for thousands of hours.
Bethesda essentially grafted a full-blown city management simulator into the code of an action role-playing game.
They really did.
But rendering a city of 10,000 artificial intelligence citizens, that has to absolutely melt your computer's graphics card. How did they pull that off, technically?
They implemented DLSS 3.5 and FSR 3.1.
Okay, lots of acronyms. What does that mean?
Right, so these are highly advanced artificial intelligence tools. Instead of your computer manually calculating and rendering every single pixel of that massive 10,000-person city,
which would crash most computers.
Exactly. The AI basically predicts and draws the frames of the game for you in real time. It makes a resource-heavy simulation run as smooth as glass, even on older PC hardware.
That is basically magic.
It feels like it. And for the players who still crave that traditional, curated narrative experience, the update also included the architect's dream.
Ah, right. That's the massive 10-hour quest line investigating an ancient civilization.
Exactly. So they really covered all their bases.
And they are already teeing up a paid DLC called Shattered Space for summer 2026, alongside this massive modding community fueled by their new creation kit.
It's an ecosystem now.
Yeah, so Bethesda proves you can keep millions of players engaged with an infinite sandbox. But that actually exposes a totally different craving in the gaming community.
How so?
Because, well, not everyone wants a second job building space cities, you know? Sometimes players are desperate for the exact opposite.
Precisely. While the industry has been expanding outward into these infinite, endless sandboxes, the middle of April proved there is still a massive cultural hunger for tightly controlled, finite, profoundly philosophical narratives.
Right. Games with a definitive beginning, middle, and end.
Exactly.
Let's move from the infinite void of space to two incredibly specific, meticulously crafted sci-fi games that hit mid-month, Replaced on April 14th and Pragmata on April 18th.
Two very different games, but very connected themes.
Yeah, both of these games dive headfirst into processing our real-world anxieties about artificial intelligence and the survival of the human race. And they come from completely different ends of the industry spectrum.
Let's start with the independent side. Replaced was developed by a small team called Sad Cat Studios.
A great name, by the way.
It really is. It launched at just $29.99 and secured a massive 92 out of 100 on Metacritic,
which puts it in the upper echelon of critical acclaim for the entire year.
Easily.
And visually, it is stunning. It's a cyberpunk platformer, but the environments are this deep 3D rendering mixed with meticulous retro pixel art.
The art direction is just gorgeous.
And the soundtrack by Arkadiusz Rakowski is this incredible blend of ambient, electronic, and orchestral music.
It perfectly sets the mood.
But the narrative setup is what hooks you. You play as Reach, an artificial intelligence that gets accidentally trapped inside a human body named Evan.
Such a cool concept.
There is a quote from Chapter 5 that literally gave me chills. The AI says, "I don't know what it means to be human, but I know what it means to feel, and right now, I feel alive."
It is remarkably poignant writing. Mm-hmm. And then, just 4 days later, Capcom, which is a massive, thousand-strong corporate studio, they release Pragmata.
Talk about a shift in scale.
Right. They had teased this game way back in 2020 with a bizarre trailer and went completely silent. It finally drops, running on their highly advanced RE engine, and scores an 88 on Metacritic.
So another huge critical hit.
Absolutely. It's set in 2078.
Yeah.
Humanity has fled a ruined Earth to live on the moon, and you play an astronaut who returns to Earth to save a mysterious little girl who manipulates gravity.
And she's not just like a character you follow around. You actively use her gravity powers to solve massive environmental puzzles.
Mechanics are super innovative.
And again, the dialogue hits so hard. Captain Sarah Chen in Chapter 8 asks, "We left Earth to save humanity, but in doing so, did we lose what made us human?"
This raises an important question about the medium as an art form.
How so?
Well, you have an indie studio of a few dozen people and a multinational corporate giant, both utilizing the interactive space to help us process very complex, very timely dread about our own technological advancement.
Yeah, that's a great point.
They aren't just selling digital toys. They are providing a mirror to our current reality.
I completely agree with the artistic merit, but I do want to bring up some of the mechanical flaws because it wasn't a perfect experience for everyone.
That's true. The gameplay had some issues.
The data shows that Replaced suffers from some extremely frustrating difficulty spikes. There are platforming sections that require absolutely perfect pixel exact timing,
which can completely halt the narrative momentum.
Exactly. And Pragmata was dinged for serious pacing issues where the story drags. Plus, it has almost zero replayability once the credits roll.
Which is a valid criticism.
Yeah. It made me wonder, are developers starting to prioritize cinematic, philosophical artistry over actual playable mechanical fun?
It is a critical debate happening right now in the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you are striving to create high art, sometimes the traditional concept of fun takes a backseat to impact.
Oh, that's an interesting way to frame it.
Right. A brutal difficulty spike in Replaced might be viewed as poor game design by a casual player, or it might be a deliberate artistic choice by the developer to make you physically feel the struggle of a sterile AI trying to adapt to a clumsy, fragile human body.
I didn't even think of it that way.
As the medium matures, we are seeing developers willing to momentarily frustrate players if it serves a broader emotional narrative.
But the beauty of this specific month is that the market proved it can support both high art and pure, unadulterated gameplay leaps simultaneously.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to the end of April. We go from the finite, heavy storylines of Pragmata that you play exactly once to the absolute masters of the endless loop.
The roguelikes.
Yes. On April 22nd, Supergiant Games dropped a massive early access update for Hades 2 called Olympian Ascension.
And for those unfamiliar with the terminology, Hades 2 is a roguelike.
Which means?
It is a genre entirely defined by dying, starting over from the very beginning, and getting incrementally stronger with each attempt.
So you're supposed to die.
Exactly. It is all about the mechanics of the loop, and this update was staggering in its scope.
They added three entirely new areas, right? Mount Olympus, the Underworld Depths, and Titan's Prison.
Yes, that is 90 new rooms of combat.
That's basically a whole new game. And they introduced 15 new weapons, over 50 new magical upgrades, and three epic new bosses.
Yeah, you're fighting a corrupted Zeus, Cerberus Prime, and Kronos himself.
And the community response was just explosive. It currently sits at an overwhelmingly positive rating on Steam. It is the definition of mechanically addictive fun.
The psychology behind the roguelike is brilliant.
Tell me more about that.
By making death an expected and rewarding part of the progression, rather than a punishment, You completely remove the frustration that players feel in a game like Replaced.
Oh, right. Because you want to start over to spend your upgrades.
Exactly. You are just constantly chasing that perfect combination of upgrades. And when you zoom out to look at the macro level financial impact of all these different design philosophies converging in a single month,
the numbers are truly difficult to comprehend.
They really are.
I had to read this section of the data three times. In the month of April 2026, the industry saw over 50 major game releases.
Which is a patch calendar.
Right. And across those releases, they moved more than 25 million copies.
Incredible.
That generated $2.5 billion in sales in 30 days.
$2.5 billion, generated purely by interactive software.
It's mind-blowing.
It proves that the ecosystem is robust enough that a $30 indie passion project can compete for the exact same cultural mindshare as a $70 corporate blockbuster.
And we didn't even have time to deep dive the other heavy hitters that rounded out the calendar.
Oh, there were so many more.
We saw the highly anticipated indie darling Hollow Knight, Silksong drop. We had the massive Japanese role-playing game Persona 6 dominate the charts.
Huge release.
And Sony ported Final Fantasy VII Rebirth over to the PC. It was just a relentless barrage of high-quality releases.
And they all managed to thrive without cannibalizing each other's sales.
That's the craziest part to me.
It was a month where every single demographic of player was catered to. Mm-hmm. From the hardcore PC enthusiast optimizing their frame rates to the casual console owner.
From the indie art house fan looking for a emotional catharsis to the blockbuster consumer.
Exactly. Everyone was eating well.
So what does this all mean when we look back at this comprehensive breakdown of April 2026?
It wasn't just a good month for buying digital games.
No, it feels like it was the month the industry conclusively proved a thesis. It proved it could break down those tribal private railroad console walls with Starfield.
Right.
It proved it could blend independent creativity with AAA philosophical scale with Replaced and Pragmata.
For sure.
And it proved that delivering profound art and endless mechanical fun is a multi-billion dollar enterprise.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this momentum isn't stopping. It is accelerating.
Oh, yeah. Look at what is immediately following this golden month.
We have Grand Theft Auto 6 looming in May 2026, which is widely expected to break every entertainment sales record in human history.
Without a doubt.
We have the Elder Scrolls 6 trailer scheduled for June. The industry has found an entirely new gear.
Yeah, they have.
The executives have finally realized that removing barriers to access doesn't dilute the product. It exponentially multiplies the audience.
Which leaves me thinking about those private railroads we talked about at the very beginning.
The walled gardens.
Right. Those walled gardens of Xbox and PlayStation. The walls have completely come down. The courtyards are flooded with people. And everyone is finally playing together on the same universal track.
It's a beautiful thing.
It is. But it makes you wonder about the very foundations those walls were originally built on.
What do you mean?
Well, if April 2026 proved that community, instantaneous access, and deeply human stories are vastly more profitable when they completely transcend physical plastic boxes.
Will the next generation of gaming even have consoles?
Exactly. Or are we rapidly approaching a reality where the physical hardware is entirely invisible and we all simply log into one massive shared digital ecosystem?
Completely, regardless of the brand name stamped on the glass of our screens.
Exactly. Something to think about the next time you boot up your system. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.